There had been words I had long forgotten, words of wind and wing, flower and fern shadow, of birdsong and daydream, and cold crystal waters where ancient stone had waited forever, words that had slipped away. I found myself in the late afternoon winding slowly through the hills on the ocean side. Spitting rain had me constantly pulling at the wiper switch. The rubbers flapped and squeaked across the glass. A strong blustery wind. Stands of satinwood rippled, their leaves flickering silver undersides like thousands of little mirrors reflecting the cold fleeced sky. When I opened the car door, the wind slammed it back, nearly taking my leg off. I went to sleep to the sounds of numerous small animals chasing around in the ceiling. The first morning, the wind had dropped, the cypress trees whirred soothingly, and roosters crowing. Just to see a new species in the wild for the first time, the breathtaking rush at the beauty and sudden presence. Perhaps you are by a river, you are surprised by a kingfisher steadily beating its way upstream. It looks a dullish sea green until it lands on a branch and turns in the sunlight and suddenly flashes the most beautiful blue you have ever seen in your life. There is song, of course. You are lying in bed early in the morning. It is late winter and biting cold. Maybe there is a frost on the lawn outside. You are looking out the window, seeing the sun spreading through the trees, green shot through with sunlight and shadow, blue sky. It is going to be a great day, and you must brave the cold in a minute. Then you hear a grey shrike thrush outside. Its pure notes hang in the air. It is always good to be alive, to hear the yellow-faced honey-eater's song on a spring day when the gums are flowering and suddenly they are back in your district again. Or it is high summer, a warm day, the lawn is fading brown, dandelion time. Your lover has left you. You sit with a cold can staring out at the sultry nothingness. A tribe of blue wrens comes swarming boldly into the garden. The male stands on a fence post, cheekily calling all and sundry to watch out. You are blue, he is blue, but he, surrounded by his extended family, is shining with a blue not even the sky can answer. He, singing his heart out, the rotten, chirpy little bastard, is a radiant blue gem set among a thousand golden yellow stars. Or you are down in a dark, wet gully finding amazingly beautiful fungi just brought out by the autumn rains. The sun is going, although it is still mid-afternoon. As you feel the gloom settle around you, a white-throated tree creeper suddenly pierces the dark silence with a long, loud call. Its lilting notes have a descending, enigmatic inflection that makes you wonder if it understands resignation. Wonder whether it thinks you should go back and read a book by the fireside and sink no further, or whether it is daring you to go on. Any time is a good time to walk down an old logging track, idly spotting anything coming your way. When close at hand, you hear a golden whistler really belt out a tune, and you know why you are there. These are transporting experiences. As the old bushies would say, it was a big thing when you looked into it. I sought out trails along the steep banks by the creek, enjoying the sights, sounds and smells, the magnetism of the deep bush, its proliferation of birth and decay. Soft tree ferns, their long thin trunks crowned with fronds splayed like lace against the sky. Maidenhair ferns dappled green spots in little shy recesses. On the wettest banks water ferns and spleenworts proliferated in a damp stillness. Brilliant green mosses covered wood and stone like the thickest paint. Ancient textures drew my eye into shadowed wonderlands. Sometimes you can see a whole world on a fork in an old log, tiny mycenic mushrooms growing like trees among a dense scrub of moss and lichen could open a realm of fantasy, at least for a moment. A perpetual rain really set in this time. I thought the whole range must wash away. When I tried to listen, the hissing, crackling radio was full of talk about the drought developing all over the rest of the country. I felt I was living in another dimension. I had selected areas where I would walk transects. The lie of the land meant that two of these faced out to the sea. I wanted to work in the high parts of the range, the reservoirs of the deep forest of old, the true heart of the bush. I had to watch for puddles in the grass, not wishing to slosh too noisily through them. My eye had quickly attuned to reflections, and I would often feel drawn to their strange inverted perfection. If a shaft of sunlight had broken through to the treetop somewhere nearby, the pools on my shadowed trail would suddenly cast up images that seemed familiar, more real than the gloom about me. I would find myself captured by their elusive beauty. I moved into the gloom of the sighing pines. On the other side, I could hear a bristlebird. About halfway up, the light shifting with the mist highlighted an old tree trunk. I could see the bird, lordly, looking down, a peregrine. It took off and flew out over the valley, banked and turned and began to soar, disappearing like a shadow. There was a low whinny, then the sound of hooves on soft earth rising immediately to a gallop. The doorbell. I reached and gave it a tentative sort of tug. We both stepped back a pace when we were regaled with the loud pealing chimes of a pied carillon. Blackberry wine had us taking our imaginations for a run. Models of ancient species known to us only as fossils. She paused longest over the wistful lost beauty of the Australian flamingos that disappeared with our great inland lakes. The mood was broken only when the twitcher ran his finger across the strings of a beautiful guitar. I thought I heard a horse whinny. It was hard to say with the wind blowing. We stopped and listened. Then the steady, thumping tread of a walking horse's hooves drew near. The wind suddenly picked up, became much fiercer, making it difficult to stand on the track. There was a strong smell of stinky box in the air. I dreamed. I was hang gliding in the sky on a southwesterly, high above the canopy. I was walking up the river. The rocks were all covered in green mosses. I found myself on the old rail line, an old train coming. A steam whistle blew. It came chugging toward me, the driver waving his battered old hat. He began to play an instrument, playing. He just kept playing a chord over and over. The first big drops of rain started tapping on the roof. It felt cooler. I pulled my chair up to the hearth and put a match to the paper and watched it start to burn as the drops began pounding faster and faster on the galvanized iron. The kite came whistling again outside the window. A breath of wind came down the chimney just as the fire started throwing that first enthusiastic bit of heat. I had some gum leaves on it, and the draft blew a little puff of smoke out into my face, drenching my nostrils in a heady and sensual snort of eucalyptus oil. Where wind loves feather, I thought. And rain, its heaviness, its gushing over the ground, making runnels, gutters, ditches, moss-green streams and creeks all over the place, ever digging into this old Gondwana stone. Cold rain, south rain, south cold rain. The words were just pounding through me now, over and over. Where wind loves feather, chasing south cold rain. When green fields yellow over beech fern hush, in moss dream streams, old stones will turn. Golden Whistler, call me now. Golden Whistler, superb blue wren, white-throated tree creeper. Yellow-faced honey-eater and black-shouldered kite. Silence. The sequence began again. Not silence. An echo, perhaps. A whistler. A blue wren. Somewhere. Distant. It was quite gentle at first. Just a distant kind of airy noise. Like the sound one hears in a giant shell. Perhaps it was coming from inside the mountain. In the tunnel. The roar of an ancient sea, the rumbling of a little steam train, I don't know. It seemed to grow up all around me like a million cicadas. From part two. When I awoke, it was raining, the raindrops falling from high up out of a shimmering opacity. Birdsong came gently, a dawn chorus never heard before, bright and pure. Night, alien night, found its voice in deep booms, shrill whistles. A great cacophony of squawks and honks and screeches rose and fell until silence came again. Ahead the volcano and dense mist, occasional showers of rain. The gentle pitter-patter of drops came across the water, breaking the silence with countless tiny splashes, then receded. The sound stroked us with a gentle hand and left us daydreaming on the water. At last the flamingos, sought for so long, pink blush with deeper red, black trailing wing edges flickering against the turquoise of the sky and reflecting in the water. The biggest trees were brilliant fountains of reds, purples, yellows, every colour. This was the source of the fragrance. If only one could translate music into the written word, describe a song that in a few simple notes touched your soul. The hollow bones made a set of pan pipes. He proceeded to try and play the flower opening song. The tree he was in suddenly began to blossom. The volcano roared and spewed debris high in the air. Hot slag rained down on the lake, fizzing as it hit the water and shooting up little plumes of steam. I remembered the songs, my chord. I had chosen it for its beauty when I had wanted to pierce the secret of the bush. Now I wanted it to find my way back home. Golden whistler, blue wren, tree creeper, yellow-faced honey eater.